Thank you. Just to start off, I'd like to begin by showing a picture of a production field, one of the production fields where this research was conducted this year. I don't know if you can see very well at the back, but all of these little purple things are Palmer amaranth cotyledons that have emerged within the last probably day or so of that picture being taken. And over the next several days, that grows into something like this carpet of Palmer amaranth that we have here. And as you can see, this is a very drastic example, but this is the weed pressure that some growers face in eastern Arkansas with Palmer amaranth. And I wanted to show this just to stress the importance of using a pre-emergence herbicide to limit the emergence of such dense stands of Palmer amaranth. Because we know that Palmer amaranth is the most problematic weed in cotton in the Mid-South, and just one Palmer amaranth plant per 30 feet of row can reduce lint yield by 13.4%. And this is important because protoporphyrinogen oxidase inhibiting herbicides became the backbone of glyphosate resistant Palmer amaranth in soybean. And soybean is grown more widely in Arkansas than cotton, but now we have this PPO resistance widespread throughout eastern Arkansas, and we're dealing with it in our cotton fields as well. So just to give a little bit of background on PPO resistance, it was first confirmed in Lawrence County, Arkansas in 2011, and it was discovered as a target site mutation, which conferred cross-resistance to all PPO-inhibiting chemistries. And this is just a little demonstration I made, a very basic diagram of how this resistance works within the plant. So first, I'm going to demonstrate what a PPO-susceptible plant looks like. And the green block is the binding site in the plant. The yellow block is what the herbicide would bind to prevent that enzyme from carrying out its job within the plant. So as you can see, theoretically, it fits together right there. But when we have a target site mutation, the binding site becomes altered within the plant. And so that herbicide can no longer bind to that target site. And we now know that there are two target site mutations that have been confirmed in Arkansas, and they both confer cross-resistance to all of those PPO inhibitors. So this trial was conducted at two locations in 2018, one in Marion, Arkansas, and one in Crawfordsville, Arkansas. And this is a map of Crittenden County, and the green arrows represent where those locations were. Both sites were non-irrigated, and I'll explain why that's important here in a minute. And they both obviously had naturally occurring populations of PPO-resistant Palmer amaranth. And the reason we wanted to conduct this research is because so far minimal research has been conducted on the efficacy of residual herbicides for control of PPO-resistant Palmer amaranth in cotton. We had mainly been focusing on soybean up until this date and got the opportunity and decided that we needed to examine how some cotton herbicides worked, because some populations of this PPO-resistant Palmer have been noted as being harder to control with other herbicide modes of action. So we hypothesized that combinations of herbicide modes of action available for pre-emergence use in cotton will effectively control PPO-resistant Palmer amaranth. And the objective of our research was to determine which pre-emergence cotton herbicide treatment provides the greatest control of PPO-resistant Palmer amaranth. These are the treatments we used. We included Reflex as a PPO comparison, and then we included some common cotton herbicides such as Brake, Caprol, Cotteran, and Direx. And we also included Warrant, Extendamax at a half X rate, and Extendamax at a full rate. Then we included mixtures that we thought growers might commonly use. And some of those included Brake with the PS2 herbicides, as well as Warrant and Extendamax, and then Cotteran and Caprol, Cotteran and Warrant, and Cotteran and Extendamax. This was a single factor experiment, with that factor being herbicide treatment, and it was a randomized complete block design with three replications at Marion and four replications at Crawfordsville. cotton was planted at Crawfordsville at 48,000 seeds per acre. We had originally planned to assess cotton injury with some of these treatments, but we lost our first try at this trial at Marion because it was so dry, and we never got our herbicides activated at that first time. Visual control ratings were taken 2 and 4 weeks after application, and weed density per meter squared was counted at 4 weeks after application. We analyzed our data using the Glimix procedure in SAS 9.4. We assumed a beta distribution for Palmer control and a gamma distribution for Palmer amaranth density. And our means were separated using Fisher's protected LSD with an alpha level of 0.05. Before I get into the results, I'd like to show some rainfall data from these two locations. In the orange bar, you have the rainfall from the Marion location, and the green bar is rainfall from the Crawfordsville location. On the y-axis is rainfall in inches, and on the x-axis is days after application. And so you can see here that we had about 1.83 inches of rainfall at Marion, and we recorded 1.02 inches of rainfall at Crawfordsville. However, we speculate that we received less than that at the actual location. Our weather station malfunctioned about this time, and we had to use the next nearest weather station, which was a couple miles away, and we think we actually received less rainfall there than what this registered. So this is our Palmer amaranth control 2 and 4 weeks after application at the Crawfordsville location. On the y-axis, we have control in percent on a 0 to 100 scale. And on the x-axis are our treatments. The orange bars represent the Palmer amaranth control 2 weeks after application, and the green bars represent our control 4 weeks after application. And if you look at the very far left treatment there, that's reflex. We can see that we had about 80% control 2 weeks after application. And then by 4 weeks after application, that drops to somewhere between 35 and 40% control. I'd like to highlight break alone. We can see that we had about 70% control there 2 weeks after application, and that really fell off by 4 weeks. And I'd also like to highlight Cotteran, where we can see that we had greater control, but still that fell off by 4 weeks after application. But when we mixed the two together, we had our numerical highest treatment there 4 weeks after application. You can see here I've highlighted the 80% control level just to show that we received very poor levels of control 4 weeks after application with these herbicides with all treatments. This is a picture of Brake plus Cotteran 4 weeks after application next to our untreated. And everything I've circled there is Palmer amaranth. Everything else is carpet weed that emerged within that trial. This is the same graph as before, only for the Marion location. And again, it's percent control, 0 to 100 on the y-axis, and our treatments on the x-axis. And I highlighted the same treatments here because we saw somewhat of the same trend with this break alone providing us decent treatment around 85% 2 weeks after application, then falling to about 70% 4 weeks after application. And then our Cotteran alone providing us about 95% control 2 weeks after application, falling to about 75% 4 weeks after application. And when we combine the two, we see that we had greater control 4 weeks after application. Again, I've also highlighted the 80% control level just to show that we had much greater control 2 weeks after application. We even had several treatments that provided us over 80% control 4 weeks after application. This is our weed density at Marion 4 weeks after application with our density in Palmer amaranth per meter squared on the y-axis and our treatments on the x-axis. You can see that we did reduce the density all across the board, and Warrant was our treatment that provided numerically the lowest Palmer amaranth density here. And this is a picture of that Marion location. the untreated on the left, and our break plus Cauteran treatment on the right 4 weeks after application. You can see the kind of densities we're dealing with here. And so this is still pretty good control 4 weeks after application compared to that untreated. And trying to explain why we might have seen less control at Crawfordsville than Marion, I'd like to highlight the sand and organic matter contents at these two locations. We can see it Crawfordsville, we had a very low sand content, and that in turn gave us a higher silt percentage in our soil texture, as well as a higher organic matter. And we know that with finer soil textures, herbicides tend to bind to them tighter, and therefore it takes more water to activate them. And since we received less rainfall at that location, we probably received less activation there overall. So in conclusion, we failed to reject our hypothesis, because when adequate rainfall is received, PPO-resistant Palmer amaranth can be controlled with common pre-emergence cotton herbicides. But we would still like to do some further research to determine our best recommendations for growers for controlling PPO-resistant Palmer amaranth in their cotton fields in Arkansas. Some practical implications of this research. We know that herbicide mixtures should be used for better residual control, which are similar to findings in research that was done in soybean by another one of Dr. Barber's students. And we also know that environment can play an important role in residual weed control and post-timing, and a zero-tolerance management strategy should be practiced for PPO-resistant Palmer amaranth to prevent the spread of this resistance, as well as to slow the evolution of further resistance. I'd like to thank Dr. Barber's research staff for helping conducting this research, Drs. Barber and Norsworthy, and my Alzheimer lab colleagues and the U of A Division of Agriculture. I would take any questions.
Questions for Wyatt?
So we did take visual injury ratings at one location, and we didn't end up using those because we didn't have it for both locations. None of our injuries were over 15% at any timing, and that was like a week to 2 weeks. But nothing was, injurious to the cotton to the point of being concerned about it.